Sing As We Go, written by Margaret Dickinson, read by Anne Dover. Chapter 1. Lincolnshire, 1939. Kathy pulled on her Wellington boots and tied a headscarf over her blonde hair and under her chin with a quick, angry movement. She pulled open the back door of the farmhouse and, walking through it, slammed it behind her so that it shuddered on its hinges, the wood creaking in protest. Immediately she regretted her action. Her mother deserved an extra few minutes in bed if anyone did, especially after last night. Pale fingers of a frosty dawn crept across the yard as she marched, hands thrust into her pockets across the cobbles towards the cowshed. The cows had already been fetched from the field, and her father's only greeting was,
"You were late."
"You call 6:30 on a winter's morning, late," Kathy snapped, her blue eyes bright with resentment. She banged the lower half of the byre door, making the cows move restlessly. Ben, their collie, ran to her, tail wagging, tongue lolling. She bent and gave him a friendly pat. She wouldn't vent her ill temper on him.
"You'd be able to get up in the morning if you went to bed the same time as decent folk."
"I was home before midnight, and you'd no right to lock me out so that Mam had to come down and let me in."
"I lock up every night at 10. If you were later than that, then I want to know, and I want to know why and all."
"I went to the St. Valentine's dance in the village hall, you know that."
"I did."
Her tone took on a sarcastic note. "Ask permission."
"Aye, you asked your Mam, because you knew you could wheedle your way round her." "And don't use that tone of voice with me, my girl, else what?"
Her eyes sparked rebellion, and her small, neat chin jutted with determination. Two pink spots that had nothing to do with the cold morning burned in her cheeks.
"You'll take your belt to me? I'm a bit old at 19.
Her father, shoulders permanently hunched, carried a bucket full of fresh, warm milk to the end of the cowshed. Pausing as he passed her, he thrust his gaunt, lined face close to hers.
"You were not of age until you were 21. And until then, you'll do as I say, or else."
She faced him squarely, but her voice was quiet as she said,
"What, Dad? Just tell me what the or else is." "You can pack your bags and go," he growled. "I'll not have a chit of a girl back answering me in my own house."
"Very well, then," Kathy nodded calmly. "I'll go. I'll go this very day, if that's what you want." For a moment, Jim Burton stared at his daughter. Then he gave a sarcastic, humourless laugh.
"Oh, aye. And where would you go, eh?"
"Lincoln," Kathy said promptly.
"And what do you plan to do there, eh? Ain't no cows in Lincoln, and that's all you're good for, girl."
Kathy nodded slowly. "Yes. Yes, I have to admit you're right there.
But that's down to you, isn't it? Making me leave school the minute I was old enough. Setting me to work on the farm for no pay." "Pay? What do you need paying for? You've everything you need."
"Need, maybe. Want, no."
"Who's been putting fancy ideas in your head, girl?"
He eyed her keenly, his dark eyes narrowing.
"Is it your mother?"
Now Kathy laughed aloud.
"Mam, put ideas like that into my head? Don't make me laugh, as if she'd dare for a start."
Jim grunted. He was thoughtful for a moment, dismissing his idea as nonsense. The girl was right. His wife wouldn't dare make any such suggestion.
"Then it's that chit of a Robinson girl. Flighty piece she is."
Kathy hid a smile. Amy Robinson was the only real friend she had, and Jim wasn't done yet.
"No better than she should be, that girl."
He'd seen Amy only the day before with